It's Channel 2 over and the beginning of the visit with Everett. Well after supper, this Monday night, the 31st of May, 1971. Channel 2 over and beginning of the visit with Everett. This Monday night, the 31st of May, 1971.
The ball game has come on. I had it on the radio there when I drove up. And I didn't hear you all. I didn't see you down the lane. Did you hear me come up, drive up?
I didn't.
You know? Oh, I was down there cussing.
You were?
I always cuss when I'm working the car.
Yeah? Well, when I came and hollered, in other words, at the door there, anybody home, then I said, well, they're probably working with the cow. And I turned around and I saw you coming up, you know, and looking at the garden.
I tell you what, I've always got some old cow there that runs with this position. The old 18 well, tonight, if there wasn't anything wrong with it, they got their eyes are watering. You see, when it gets dusty, a lot of times they get that old gook in there.
That's right.
And the sun makes a light right.
That's the reason that I like the Black Angus. That's another reason.
And she,
Black Angus don't do it, in other words.
And she didn't have any, she wasn't anything wrong with her much, but every time she got, she'd hunt somebody I wanted to get to.
Uh-huh.
And she'd take them all up to the end of the
That's thing. Right. They'll do that. Rub, you know, the fly. No, I got to dust mine, though. I'm going to hem them up and dust mine. The fly is a bad one now.
Yeah.
And that bull, why, they like to drink that fresh water.
Yeah, or do they?
Yes, sir. They, that automatic water, that water gets a little warm, and they don't like it. Well, they do the fresh water. So I'd water them, and then my brother, I saw it, he had had the rainmaker going and also had the little holes on the hole, what you call them, little spew things. Had that on the tomatoes and the lima beans, and on the far end of the garden, why he had the rainmaker that goes around and carries about a 30 or 40 foot space at a time, and you move it twice, then the water that side going down that way, you see. And she came along back down there with him in her car, and her sister-in-law did, in a big Chrysler, and he blocked me in the truck. I said, well, I can't turn it around. I haven't gotten it fixed yet. That man down there, you know, I was down there, I saw you the last time I saw you.
Yeah.
It was down here at the old
Smith's.
And I went up to old Fred on the back.
Yeah.
And Fred, if he'd gotten that Richland darky, it used to help this farmer boy or something. He worked for Bob Becker to help him pull that transmission out while he was going to do it. But he couldn't get that Richland boy to help him. So then he told me, he said, here's a used transmission. That I'll let you have the whole thing for $10. If you want to, I'd go ahead and get the other man to pull it out and come get what you want off of it. So I went up there and make it open. I got bursts and I got a pump on him.
I but, never saw anybody that reasonable.
No, he's always been, you know, good to me, in other words. Old Fred, old Carl had too, always done the favor. That's the reason I used to give him vegetable and I gave him a bunch of potatoes, and you said you still had some, in other words.
Yeah.
I got through, and that boy came around and got them, and he couldn't get them all. So he told me he'd leave in full bag for me. Well, I had orders for about 10, 12 bags. You know, not coming in, well, I decided to bring them. And H.A. said, well, he said, if you move them, I'd like you to move mine because people got their own garden. And I'd already brought him about 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. Little country store at Flemington. Geiger boy, I don't know whether you ever been out that way or met him or not. And I said, oh, I'll move them. So when I'd eat, and I told him at the monitor to check and see how many he had. And he did. And he told me to bring them on to him tomorrow night, in other words. And I told him, well, I knocked off, I'd come down again and eat a meal, and I'd bring him along with me, in other words, tomorrow afternoon.
That's what it does, two things
at
one.
That's right. So, that'll be all of them then, in other words, except the one that I picked off of the big one to bake. For Ruby, she wanted something. I rode that blooming machine around to get the big ones. I wanted them field run, not washed or nothing.
Yeah.
And, so I rode it around and got 100 pounds, in other words, and asked the man what he owed me. Oh, yeah, I don't know. He said, about a dollar and a half. So I gave him a dollar and a half for 100 pounds, the number one, and I'm ready. And they're about that big around.
Oh, man,
and you
right.
Wrap them in tin foil and bake them.
Yeah.
My sister-in-law likes them, you know, that way.
Yeah.
And she said, I don't believe they're ruined, in other words. I'll keep them in the shade, in other words. They pretty well matured, the Reverend. You drinking a cup with me?
Yeah.
Well, I'll put mine in, and she gets you another spoon, okay? I'm going to have to stir mine.
Sure.
Well, what Fred...
But I got through, and Fred, he couldn't do it, so then I went to see Butch. So he had the mail carrier's car up there, automatic transmission. I believe it was Chevrolet.
Yeah.
A yarn boy. And I have a appointment with him Wednesday. And the doc is working me on a job. He got a Chevrolet, and he said he'd be glad to come up there, you know, Wednesday evening and get it, because he leave it up there all night. They'll steal a tool and all the gas out of it. You know what I mean. You,
oh, yeah.
You don't have anything there. They did that one time down at Fred. They even stole a can of oil and a pair of pliers, you know, had on the floorboard. Had a can of oil
on it. They keep an eye out for those things. They know where to look,
yeah,
don't they?
Right, yeah.
When they go
find it on the floorboard, and they'll get the gas to wash up the parts. Well, you can expect them to do that. I don't mind the man, you know, if you can get the hole in that tank of my pickup, it's hard to do because it's got two of them things, you know, and it's crooked on the side, you know, that pickup of mine.
Yeah.
It's hard to get a hose in there to siphle it out. But if any way they can get a hose in there, they'll siphle it out. I've seen them do it, you know, out of a different car. They had a Rambler down there, and they got nearly 5 gallons out of it, you know, to clean the tubes up in the wood and use around there for 2 or 3 days. Probably 5 gallons of gas would wash a lot of automobile parts.
Yeah.
But that's all in the business, I guess.
Yes, sir. You never know when you're contributing to
I don't use that.
Because
I have to correct Louise Borks. Used to be. I don't know who that girl married.
Well, did you get the transmission from...
No, I told him I'd pick it up, and he said, well, he says, just wait, Butch is going to do it, and then come down, and I'll let Betty, yo, Betty said she'd carry me down now. But now then, since Harvey got it, and my brother said, if it's that hook, you know, why, it won't cost too much, but if it's a cone, why, it'll probably be $4 or $5, and I'd rather put a new one in there, rather than tear it out, you know, you got to take the front collar off of that transmission in front of it to get it out.
Yeah.
And it being me worn, I'd rather put a new one in there, because all the other parts, it'll run in all other gear, it's perfect. It'll run as good as that little car out there in the other gear, but that reverse you put in there, just, I believe that cone, that part of it broke, and it locks it.
Yeah.
And you can't get it loose, you know, with a crowbar.
Yeah.
We had to let it back off the jack down there at Fred's. And got two more men, there's four of us now, and we had to push the thing. It jumped out like a starter lock. You've seen a starter lock.
Yeah.
And it jumped out and made a noise.
Yeah.
So he seemed to think, in other words, it was, you know, it was a cone. But I taken the cover off of the old one he had there, and I wasn't looked, and the spring and the hook, you know, it goes over. It's kind of like a dog on a pair of wire stretchers. It catches a chain, you know what I mean? It goes over and catches that gear, and that gear thing fits in a cone. It looked like an armature, right in the front end of the thing. But I couldn't see that thing for the cover in the front when I taken off the side cover. And Fred, he said it wasn't broke on mine. A little thing with a spring, it kicked it back. It's all right. That's the reason he said it's in the cone, he thinks. But they got to pull the thing out of them. That's the hardest job, pulling one of them out and putting it back. Now, the book price, no, they got it. They say it takes 8 hours, and they charge you about $40 or $50, no,
it don't take 8 hours.
No, but two men, no, wouldn't do it in about 3 or 4. This old flunk that you had out here working with you, that mechanical, what's the name, Cook?
Cookie?
Cookie?
Yeah.
Cookie, in other words,
he's fast.
If he had somebody to help him, well, he'd take it out and put the thing on there and put it back in about 3 hours. I wish I'd have seen him to see if he couldn't have gotten somebody to help him
and
let him know.
You see, one reason Fay called over to your house, you know, and he was over here, that's when she called, and he said something about going by over there. Well, I said, that's always dangerous. I mean, to take a chance.
That's right.
I said, Fay can call Ruby.
That's right.
System.
Yeah, she was in. She gets in at 6, and my brother's home on Monday and Tuesday. He'd been around all day. What time he hadn't been working in the garden, he pulled up the old mustard greens and threw them over the fence and planted something else now. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe summer turnips or mustard or something.
Yeah. Well, it'll be there when it rains, ready to grow, huh?
Yes, sir. But he's watering with irrigating, in other words. He can irrigate. Irrigate that, you know, along with a... He hadn't dug his eye potato yet. They bloom and they're late. They're like never come up. He got the little red bliss.
Yeah.
But Ruby's been eating the white one, in other words. And I brought a few of those twos off the hook. Creamers, they call them creamers. Send them to, they pay $2 for them, in other words. I pay for bagging them, in other words. And the man come and picked them up every day. We usually have around 75 to 100 every day, bags.
Oh, really?
And I get $2 for them. And bail him out, and they pick them up at that place and go to a different packing shed and pick them up until they get, you know, 450 bags. Then they head out for, I believe most of them go to North Carolina, the creamer. Big places where they can them.
Yeah.
But the number one is what he's
in. You're not tempted anymore to follow the potato seed.
No. The man is buying the twos. He's raising potatoes in North Carolina, and he says he's going up there and he'd like to have me go up there. He kind of taking a liking to me. And the neighbor where he got about 80 or 100 acres, and he wanted me to stay a couple of weeks and help him.
Yeah.
But I tell you, and you work with that labor, those colored girls, everything colored.
Yeah.
And if it hadn't been for an older woman now, I would have had a time with those teenage girls. You know, they all like white and colored both now with a filter talk. And and if you wait on a truck or something, they all flop down, you know, over there and get on sacks or something and get a crap game going, you know, a little penny ante, a nickel, a dime, a thing, and want to win the money, and they get to arguing over it and talk and curse and this, that, and the other, and have to reprimand them for that. And then they had a nice automobile there, a Pontiac, wasn't a Pontiac, one of those Roadrunners, Plymouth, I believe, put that Roadrunner out in it. Anyway, they had a stereo thing in there, and they had some filter song on that stereo, you know what?
Yeah.
And they pay for that stuff, and that boy told me that special song cost about $8. And against the law to have it, in other words, it's, what you call it, phonography, isn't it? I believe it's a band. But he says they put it on a tape, then they take it off of that tape, you know what you record the thing off of, then they put it on this stereo, you see?
Yeah.
You've seen them things, you just plug them in the hole, in other words.
Yeah.
And later around there getting that, I said, cut that thing off. Somebody decent might come in here. So sometime the buyer comes in, or maybe his wife, or some other potato chip people that bring us old chips.
Yeah.
In other words, they're liable to come in, you know, and hear all that going on. It's not good, you know.
Oh,
have
you
were
there for a minute,
didn't you? Oh, yes. And if there's that one older woman, I would have had a time in the girl, but I done had enough.
Could she get around them?
Yeah, she meant what she said. She didn't hit them over the head or something, or other, but I couldn't hit one of them. All
oh,
I could do is
did.
Just tell them, yeah.
She'd crack them.
Old Emma, that's what her name. She used to work at the sawmill making open. And her husband got kinfolks up there, old man Murray and Miller Stewart. I don't know whether you know him, Doctor, or not. It's got a farm there, and I stopped and carried string beans and turnip greens over there to eat.
No.
You know where, if you leave 75 and go into making open? You can see that about 2 acres of farm on the right, and the graded road go through the nigger town.
Yeah.
That's his farm.
Oh, yeah.
He used to farm my brother-in-law, Carlos Ralph, and he had the farm out there at the county line.
How was his name?
Man Murray.
Yeah.
And Murray. Miller Stewart lived right next door to him.
Oh.
They're two colored boys, and they cousins.
Yeah.
And that old Emma's husband is cousin of those two men. So they'd furnish me beans and turnips, and I'd bring them a bag of those cub potatoes and pour them out in the tub and tell them to divide them around to the neighbors.
Well, how about that? Yeah.
And get a 35, 40 cent bunch of green, you know, and about $1 worth of those string beans, in other words.
Yeah.
Those beans, you know, they were pretty high and they come up.
Yeah.
And they enjoyed them. They wanted some tomatoes, and I said, the tomatoes not ready yet. And she wanted cucumber. The brother asked me, I believe yesterday. He said, you want a cucumber? I'll leave you one. I said, no, I don't want no cucumber. But he got, you know, about 4 or 5 hills, and he had a half a dozen, I reckon, nice cukes.
Yeah.
I told him, no, I didn't want no cuke. So he carried one up the house. I reckon maybe Ruby let somebody have them. But I don't like cucumber or bell pepper, either one.
Well, don't cut them down. You might learn somebody to want something.
Well,
I could have
put it in the truck, and I wouldn't and give it to some of the friends, in other words.
Yeah.
And I told old Wilshire Walker, you know him? W.W. Walker?
I haven't seen him in a good while.
Well, he's in. He said he's going to be in for a while.
He's as big as ever? Bigger than or two.
He's been down the island. He always wanted me to go down there with him, you know, and make that big money down.
Yeah.
About $1,000, $1,500 a month.
Yeah.
Down there. And he said he'd been back about 2 months, and he'd back up there carting.
Yeah. Well,
Gainesville wanted me to go up there. He's with that old boy, you know, married the local girl in McIntosh, married the Waters girl. And he's in politics too. What is that boy's name?
You'd
know him, I reckon.
No, I know the
Wallace. Wallace's daughter, in other words.
Yeah.
She, this was her second husband,
yeah.
The oldest girl. And this
know.
Boy is Davis. Davis is the boy's last name.
Okay.
Wallace worked with him until he got where he couldn't work.
Oh.
Had that heart attack or something. Wallace was the one that used to run the post office.
Yeah.
And that's his oldest daughter, married this Davis boy. He's in the construction business and then politics too.
Yes.
You've probably heard of him.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Wilshire's working with him.
Yeah. Well.
But I told him no, and I didn't care about going up there and working. He's working up there now, but Margaret then said she might consider after the boy got married, her son get married, that Wilshire III, he getting married, and also I said, well, we're having a boy in our neighborhood getting married. And he and his wife have done told me that I had to come and told me I wouldn't have to wear a tuxedo, but they told me what to wear. Wear a dark suit and white shirt and one of these new ties, a bow tie. I said, I don't have none of them wide ties. I got some narrow tie, and I got a nice clasp pin, and I got me one of those small Stetson hats. I said, well, you can't wear that in the church, but it'd be all right to go ahead and wear a dark suit and a white shirt and wear a dark tie, you know.
Yeah.
So I said, well, thank you for the information. And he even said, in other words, well, it says the boy, Lightning Boy, is the one getting married, George, and he married this girl at school teacher. He said, I got an eye for business, and I won't hurt her. Kind of helped me along, because she makes $11,000 a year teaching school.
Goodness.
But she told the boy she didn't have no money, but she'd help him, you know, finish his education where he'd get him a job. Sylvia Pond, Delma Pond, this girl. You know Delma, I reckon, and produce business for years.
Yeah.
You've been living long enough to know him. He died, you know, and went to school with him, raised up with him. He's about my age, Delma is. No, Everett's my age, older boy, one that was a cowboy. Did you know Everett Pond that lives in Macon for a while? You know the insurance man, Troy Pond, don't you?
I know, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's a treasure of our church. We turn the money over.
Oh, yes,
him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But he's going to the wedding, but they're not sending out invitations, but I have to go. And then they said, well, said they, what they'd like to have is one of these high price, you know, piece of silver. And I said, well, I just got full graduation gifts, in other words. And I said, I don't, not no rich man, in other words. And I said, what else are you going to do? Well, how about some glasses? I said, I'm getting up some glasses, iced tea glasses. I got two or three sets of them in the kitchen. I said, I'll clean them up and give him a set of glasses.
Yeah.
Then his sister spoke up, Louise, that works, you know, writes them, all them checks up here on university.
Yeah.
He used to co-sign them, and now they come from Tallahassee.
Yeah.
But she used to be in that office, and I guess that's where, when you was up there, you got your money, I reckon, out of that percent game, yeah.
Sure.
Her name is Harris, Louise Harris.
Yeah.
And it's like, she co-signed, you know, be surprised how many $100,000 she writes up there, you know, every 2 weeks or every month. Some of them get different paid, you know.
Yeah.
But she says, in other words, said, well, you can give him, you know, $5 or $10. Said, money is what George likes. That's what she told me.
Yeah.
I said, well, all the youngsters now like money. And I said, I'm giving these graduation kids, four or five of them, I'm giving them $3 rather than giving them a shirt or something. It might not suit them. And they can take the $3 and spend it for whatever they want to.
Sure.
But the two of them are the one family. It's a boy and a girl graduating. And they're out Saturday night and also out last night on some kind of this prom business, of course. And one of the local boys, he spent the night over the hippies. You hear about the hippies in Williston?
I read about it.
You did? Yeah.
Yeah.
The one of them out home, he went over and got in, you know, wasn't rather than paying that $6 or $10 they had over at a big night Saturday night.
Yeah.
He carried a camper and he got in the ground and he spent the night in them woods there in about a 700-acre pasture.
Yeah.
But the law come in there and got to getting all that old $100,000 worth of that dope. And they circle and call the officer from everywhere, you know, and they run him out, run him away.
Yeah, broke it up.
Broke it up. If I had to settle again up there about Archin, I think they run away from now. But what gets me is I'm telling that boy at the store, I said, you used to be on the office force, you know, and let Doug Willis beat you. I says, the instigator of that thing, he's wanting to fatten his pocket, and he's using that money. Now, the charge, I think, $6 wound up charging Saturday night. The biggest band in the United States is going to be there. When he got through playing, well, then they're going to have the name. Individual, he's going to get that money and pull a Hank Snow job. I said, that's what gets me. They wasn't going to, you know, make a rehabilitation, you know, for the narcotics, in other words. That's a, that was what the story was for the what do you call that thing? Not frolics. You know, when they get together. They've had several of them. You know, what do they call them? Rock and roll, not rock,
rock
and...
Rock festival.
Rock, that's it. Yeah. Rock and roll, it's, it is. Rock, they got rock. The rock and roll.
Yeah.
Rock festival. Yeah. I told some of them, that boy said, I want to go. I said, and his daddy said, well, if you go with Steve Harrison, well, I reckon you can go. Steve said, I don't know whether daddy's going to let me have the truck to go or not. Well, he'd done been over that night before. Them two boys hadn't spent the night in that truck to keep him paying the money, you know, the night before.
Yeah.
But they wanted to go back, you know, to hear that music. Biggest band in the United States. Mm-hmm. But he said, told him if he went with Steve, well, it was all right, but he couldn't go with these other rough boys, Grant boy. Couldn't go with him. You get in trouble.
You know, that rock and roll and things like people used to do, they didn't have to have so many.
No.
And one of the big things, you see, was the revival, the meeting.
That's right.
Know, and,
yeah.
And all. They just.
That's right.
They just. That was.
It got happy. There wasn't no dope or no drinking or nothing like that. And the old people got happy.
They
got.
Right. And they didn't need the law.
No, need no. No.
Now, I Everything don't. I just hand. Don't understand why they got to have a 700-acre field full of people.
I don't either. Well, the 12,000-15,000 they said, you know, on the radio and the paper,
yeah.
You know, for a while, they expect 100,000. But to round up, about 12,000, I think.
Well, you
12,000 in one bunch is a pretty good bunch of people. They're scattered everywhere.
That's a big. Yeah. Yeah.
And that Hale boy says, you can't go across my land. Well, I'm going to start using this 306 or SM1 or something or other.
Yeah.
And they got scared, you know. And the law, you know, they called every law officer in 40 miles, I reckon, from over there. And they got after them. One or two of them got hurt. The officer got his arm broke. And two or three more got skin all up. They got hit side the head with rocks and bottles.
Oh, they're men, them boys. They were hippies, you know. Some of them, they're men.
Yeah, they're tough.
God.
Oh, yeah. They got so much hair on them, too. You can't scar one of them.
You can't
tell them from a gorilla. Some of them stronger than a gorilla, I imagine. I wouldn't want one of them to get a hold of me, would you?
Yeah. Well, what's the shape of your car now, your truck?
All right, except that reverse. It locked, and it takes about four people to break it loose. And
it's
the house. I haven't carried it yet. I drove it to work, but I parked it in the ditch, and I got plenty of room to turn around. I can't get hemmed up.
Yeah.
I drove it over yonder in only 2 weeks, but I used that boy's Ford pickup, you know, to run air, and then I wouldn't go to the field once in a while, and he wouldn't be there. Whichever one to be there, well, I'd go to the field when the chain come loose and have to maybe get something. A bearing went to the bed, and the power take off, it run the harvest machine. And the bracket broke nowhere, and it come out there and spotted it. And I said, it won't stay no longer. And Pat stayed in the arm. And that mechanic looked at me and said, how long was that? I said, well, they tell me that he went in and the plot was striking one and came out before he finished. So I wouldn't be long. Sure enough, it did break. When the boy made the turn, he didn't cut the thing off, in other words, soon enough, and broke it loose again. And it takes some time to get the thing off, in other words. That key, Carter key, that, you know, about a, I think it's, about a quarter, maybe a little smaller than a quarter inch key, you know, about that long.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing is sometimes it's trouble to get out of there. Put that skunk all over it and let it set and then mess around there with it, trying to get that key out before you get the shaft off.
Yeah.
Then you slip the whole bearing in there, you see. And it was a job to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But everything now you see it made, you know, hazardous. I said, that thing here cost about $15,000. I said, it looked like they'd build this thing, you know, better. But the man that engineered that thing, well, he's that brains, and that's the reason he can get all that money, and you got to put new chains on it. You know, chains don't last for one season. Then you have something like that going to bad, and finally wound up, had to get the mechanic come out there, in other words, and you know what that is. They charge you mileage and charge you about $6 to $8 an hour, and it wasn't in the warranty. Now, the bearing on the belt was in the warranty. It would have been $50 if it hadn't been in the warranty. Mm-hmm. But the bearing on the elevator belt, it carried it into the long trough. It put the potatoes on the truck. But the good thing is it was on the... If you make money, why, well, you hate to give it away, you know, to some of them people. But over there, they act like they're doing you a favor to work on something. That's the way it's getting around here, about that way, you know what? People,
yeah.
If you get something done, why, they're doing you a favor to work on your stuff.
Well, now, it's been that way where I go. It's been that way for some time.
Yeah.
Out here. Now, I can still take it in to Gainesville, and they'll do it
yeah.
there, and won't consider it a personal favor.
No, they'll charge you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I carried this little car here down there. My brother said he wanted a set of tires on it. And he used them best grade Sidney Roebuck tires, and I carried it down there. It was Friday. I came in. We got through Wednesday night, and I came in Thursday afternoon. And Friday, he said, how about carrying it down the town? And I told him, all right, I want to go to the bank anyhow.
Oh, that's your brother, Ernest.
Mm-hmm. I had my checks that I had, you know, been paying them off, you know. I wanted to deposit them and get them cleared, and I said, I'll carry it. And he told me to go out that Sidney Roebuck off that Silver Spring Road, and colored man now.
Oh, down Ocala.
Yeah, colored man, he wrote the ticket out, and brother wanted new points and condenser put in. I said, well, that'll run in the money. Well, he said, they got that machine, and it won't burn up so fast. So they put the machine on it, and one man done that, and one man, you know, changed the tires. And they
well,
put on that. Time? I didn't like that. And I told that fella, I said, well, he says, the higher up, we are authorized to do that. I said, well, I said, I've been buying tires for a long time. And I said, not from you people, but I've been buying them from CPA, the Farmer Mutual, for the last 3 or 4 years. I used to buy them from Farm Bureau. And before that, I bought them 20 years from B.F. Goodrich, you know, in Ocala.
Yeah.
And they give me a discount, you know, and they come out the field, you know, and change the tractor tire and put on a brand new one right in the field, and had everything right there to do it with.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got even the milky water, you know, to keep the tire from freezing. Put the water in the air bowl right in the field. I had one done over at Billy Brown, had 5th acre of squash over, and the rear tire went out on that little smallest tractor at the house, a little 24-inch
yeah.
tractor, 1124, I believe the number of it.
Yeah.
And they come right out there and put one out in the field over at Billy Brown. Right
oh,
where it went flat.
Man.
Yeah, and had the jacks and everything.
Yeah,
I didn't have to worry about nothing. And they only had a $15 charge, all it was, come all the way from Ocala.
Well, you couldn't go down there and do that.
No, just call them.
Well, I'm going to tell you, old Noy Orford was cutting my silage up here. And he did something, I can't picture it right now, but he had a brand new tires on that John Deere up there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes, he cut too much, and the silage, I think the silage cutter punctured his new tire. Is that possible?
Yeah.
I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
He cut too much.
Mm-hmm.
And why, I don't know. I forget right now. Maybe it was somebody else on there. I forget. Somebody else may have been driving.
Let it down, the water come out of it and everything.
And, you know, it hurt me. I lost money. It took them a couple of days, John Deere.
Mm-hmm.
It took them a couple of days to get that tire going again.
And
I thought to myself, that is shabby. That
yeah.
is shabby.
Yeah.
And somebody along the line hadn't done anything at all. You see, no offers go broke.
Yeah,
I go broke.
That's right. Well, it could have come, you know, something, the weather condition, the hazard condition, like you want to go ahead and get the stuff, you know, wet.
Why, it was
it's
already
kind of like
past,
yeah.
past prime,
yeah.
and another couple of days, it
yeah,
went way
right.
down.
Yeah,
see?
But this man, though, when I had that up there, Billy Brown, I've been several years ago, but they'll still do it. C.G. Jr. had the boy come out to the field there with that hay bind, though. That's that same thing, you know, when you cut the hay, you want to get enough down to make it worthwhile for the men to bale and haul. We just made 2 rounds. That wasn't 100 bales.
Yeah.
And you got men, you know, 4 or 5 trucks coming to haul it. And it went haywire, and he called the Fonda boys in Yanville, and he said, I'll have Fred to come on out. So Fred was out there in 45 minutes.
Is that right?
And he fixed the thing, you know, and I went on to cut down, you know, 1,000, 1,500 bales of hay. Well, we'd have enough to work on the next day.
Yeah.
But if he'd have waited a day or two, well, it might have started raining or something or another, and the hay was already ready to cut, and
yeah.
It wasn't even want to get it cut, and the next day you put it in the house, see?
Well, they had to take that car off and send it to Jacksonville or some foolish thing like that. I forget what it was.
That's
it was shameful.
Well.
And,
but this man is going to say about the tire deal, the colored man, though, what he put out now, $6 or something or another to balance the tires. And I said, wait a minute here. I says, this is not my car, but I says, I buy tires, you know, just bought two for my pickup, you know. Sometimes a lot of parts. Yeah, Sears and Ocala, they charged me $1.75 to balance some tires on that same car. And
they told me that they did that as part of it.
But he had it down there beside, after he made the price of four tires of $80-some-odd, three-year tire, and it was guaranteed 36 months, regardless how many miles you put on anything.
Yeah.
Now, the other car, they got on them, the Rubis, it's 50,000 miles. You know, that big car, it's a big tire. Well, your car's got big tires on, probably both of them, but these are little 13-inch tires, and there's four of them for $86. And after $86, then they added a $6 and something another, $1.75 a tire for balancing. That's when I called his hand. I says, I buy mine at Farmer Butrel, and I just bought two, in other words, and they didn't charge me to balance them. I said, they put lead on that new lead. He said, that lead costs something. I said, that little chunk of lead don't cost that much. You don't have to use one or two on the inside of the tire to balance it. Well, he said, it's handed down much from high up, and that's what we got to do. I said, that's trouble now. They got too many crooks in the high up. And I said, you people here, there's very few of you getting $2 an hour, and then they charge you, know, for labor and for all the work, like that man charged for them points at $10 and something other. And the points were $1 and something other, and it didn't take 15 minutes to put a set of points and condense in.
I'm telling you, they're making money.
Sure they are. And the boys are doing the work. They're not getting anything but the company, in other words. They can put up these million-dollar business, in other words.
Yeah.
Well, they're the ones making the money, the higher up.
And they really got you.
Oh, yeah. As I say, they don't care whether they wait on you or not. And another man now, he seemed to be a pretty good Christian man. He changing, you know, rotating here. And he's talking to the fellow, and he says, it looks like you're hooked everywhere you go now. He said, this country's headed. It's a bad word and a bad way to think. But he said, it's getting socialist just like Russia all the time. First thing you know, they're going to tell you how much stuff you can do, raise, and what you can do. And you have so much, and they had all of it, see? And just give you a little of it, see? That's the way they believe in, see?
Yeah.
But they believe in, you know, equalization. Now that's what they tell you. But when you get an equalization program, well, you can talk to people, and they've been over and seen how they do. Well, it's the same as in slavery, Western slavery. Because if you don't do right, they come out and blow your brains out. If you got an even ankle like you're going about, not like this country, you can get away with murder here. They won't do anything with you. You got a little money, you can get out.
That don't sound like Sears. They don't.
I told my brother, I said, that didn't act right to me, but I said, that's just what it is.
They don't hook you at Sears. It seems to me like they are always sort of reasonable. Always have been.
Well,
what you gonna do? Just go out to CPA and Farmers Mutual and the Farm Bureau?
Well, I told my brother, he's got them on there now, but I told him I can continue buying mine from Farmers Mutual. In other words, I need another one on the front now. It's got about 30.
Did you go ahead and let him do it?
Yeah, he sent me down to have it done, and I had him do it. Yeah, paid for the balance, in other words. I said, well, you want it done. They done it, but he put that added on there, and then he said some of the other company might add on. I said, well, not that. For the simple reason, I'm buying these six-ply tires no cheaper than they sell the four for.
Yeah.
That pickup of mine, it's a 15 on the back. That's popular size.
Yeah.
And it's a six-ply. And it don't cost me less than $25. And it's a first-line tire, and I put 40,000 miles on it before I have to put another one on it.
Yeah.
You can't ask any better than that. 40,000 miles is ordinarily 3 years, you know, driving, in other words. Of course, I reckon I drive about 20,000 miles a year in my pickup.
Yeah,
I don't know how many
you
drive.
Let me tell you, you know what? Ever since I can remember, things been getting, you get in a corner. It looks like the way you've been trading, it gets high, you can't, and then you say, well, sir, the country's going to dog. And then what you do, you get out and case the joint. And you know, it never has been so that I couldn't find some way of getting it done if I put my mind to it.
Okay.
Now,
well, that's what I told my brother-in-law about my pickup. He said, carry it on up at a game with one of those places and let them do it. I said, well, they got a book price up there.
Yeah.
And I said, that book price of that, they figured 8 hours. I told him in to go. And they figure, you know, about $6 or $8 an hour, plus the parts in there with the put. And you get through with it, well, it'll run me another $100. And it hadn't been but 2 or 3 years since I put $100 in the thing.
Yeah.
Put new drum, new seals and all in it. And they're supposed to, but they might not have put that front cone in there, see?
Yeah.
If you don't stay there and watch these people now, they charge for stuff they don't put in there. Same as some coming and stealing something that you got out there.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
It's pathetic. No,
well,
what
now,
do you?
Here's one trouble with the mechanics. Old, I never can call his name. What's
Birch?
Birch. All right. He, you see, he and Buster both. They can't afford to hire somebody to help them.
No.
They got to do everything themselves.
That's right.
Well, they get tired.
That's right.
They
and he'll close up, in other words, and go fishing. In other words, a lot of time, old Butch will be fishing.
But I've heard Buster. I don't know.
And Buster, he'll close up, in other words, because he'll tell you right quick that his wife is making enough to bring the ration and all in.
Yeah. Now, I don't know Butch so well, but I've talked to Buster, and he has tried a lot of times to hire somebody, and they cost him more than me.
Yeah, that's about right.
They just go ahead and do it and don't pay much attention to it, and then he got a whole bag.
Well, that's where my brother-in-law wasn't. He run the station. He tried to hire a man there and paid him a decent wage, you know, about $2 an hour, which would give him, you know, about $85, $90 a week, in other words. And as he said, that man wasn't making him enough money for him to, you know, keep it.
Yeah.
So then that's when he quit out the major overhaul and just started with the tinkering, like, Fred, that's what he liked to do. Generator, you know, put brushes in and maybe fan belts on and maybe starter, you know, a Bendix frame and that kind of thing. If he can buy the stuff, you know, and make a little profit on the what it costs him wholesale and sell it to him retail and charge him, you know, a normal fee, you know, maybe him $2 an hour, $2.50, and he can make him, you know, more money than he could working with the old Carl. Carl says he ain't much mechanic, nothing, and he never could make, well, you heard him, never could make him any money. But the idea is, well, he had the paper business, and he couldn't help the man in, and that kind of discouraged him.
Yeah.
You take, he's working with both men, but a lot of time he needs the help, and Carl wouldn't help him. He'd leave and ride around or something rather than help him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Just leave it up.
Because one time now, he pulled my brakes off, and I wasn't going to fix them, and, he happened to think about he had to do something, and he left the thing just tore up, you know, and said, Fred will get to it directly. And I stood around there for an hour and a half, you know, before Fred could get there. And that's when Fred said, now, that's some way to do it.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't have all that much business tend to, you see. But he's the boss man, though, wasn't he? He made out like he did, but I was waiting around there an hour, 2 hours, though, wasn't he? If you figured your time in, it'd been better me to go on, you know, to a brake man, you know, at Goodyear. All these places, you know, got their brake places now.
Yeah.
And paid the extra money, and I wouldn't have had it done.
Yeah.
But as I say, I bought the shoes, and I went wholesale, and he charged $2 a wheel, and you kept one of these other places in game. Well, you know what it is? It's $35.
Yeah.
$35. So it's a lot of difference, $2 a wheel, and paying him, you know, to put them on, which is not too long of a job. And I wouldn't, you get out for about $10 or $12. Now, when you furnish your shoes.
And some of them jobs he does good.
Oh, yeah. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Well, he put the brakes all the way around on this pickup of mine, and he put the brakes on this Falcon here. My brother got me to buy them from White Electric.
Yeah.
Had me to buy the muffler, in other words.
Yeah.
My sister-in-law, she bought one at Ford Place one time, and I bought two of them, White Electric, what the Ford Place charged it.
Yeah.
And he charged $9 to put the muffler on. I could have, you and I, you could have put it on. I could have put it on myself.
Yeah.
Jack the thing up and put the muffler on now. All you have to do is have a half inch wrench.
You know, the way they make these cars now, you can't get on them.
You got to have a jack. You can get a chain horse, put it over oak limb and pull the thing up.
Sure.
Had to. I'd pick it off the ground with a chain horse.
Sure. Do you remember the way we, almost everybody, used to have those tracks they could drive up
mm-hmm.
on and get under there? They was about a 30 inches high, something like that?
See, the Union still got that old one here. I chain my oil all the time or two up there. Smith up down there. He still got here.
Yeah.
And I'm schoolboy, you know, asking, you know, about using it for that car, and they're going to school, university, and lives in that house. That the old, what's his name? McNeil.
Yeah.
You know, the insurance man that lives out there on the old part of the old Richardson place on that Dungarvan Road, that nice home. That's better than they built that home, in other words.
Yeah.
And my cousin, her boy, you know, put down that carpet, in other words, and she was bragging on it. Mrs. McNeil. And I said, the boy worked for the company years, and he's reasonable, and he does a good job. And she said, he seemed to be a nice boy. And I said, he's raised right. And I said, that's the reason. And he said, is he any kin to the Geiger down here at the store? I said, no, ma'am, he's a different Geiger. I said, his daddy was got hurt in the war, and his mind went bad, and they had to send him up in McClenny. And he died up there in that school. In other words, he's unrational, in other words. Didn't know what he was doing and doing anything, you know, wrong and all. And people were scared of him, see, and they take him up there, and that's where he died.
Mm-hmm.
But his mother never had married anymore since then.
Let me tell you, I want to get Finn here and get a call over there and see if he can get a hold of Leon.
Cookie.
Mm-hmm.
She might have done call him, maybe. Think he'd gone on a hayride or something like that? Cookie.
Oh, not this time. Let me tell you what I run into. You know, this dog kennel's getting pretty rank out in the pastures.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. My brother said it's getting rank enough of heavy land I have. Said you need to mow them again. I said, I mowed them twice.
Well?
And,
I tell you what.
He choked the clover out. He said, you're going to have to sow some more grass, and I may have to sow some more clover. So he done choked it, and it's not only, you know, seed, reseed itself.
Yeah.
Well, every once in a while, you got to buy that stuff, and they're $1.50 a pound, I think, now. You bought that clover lately?
Uh-huh.
It's high as a
cow. Oh, yes.
Isn't it high as a mischief? I think
I
got it around, seemed like 90 cents. I bought it through my brother at wholesale house in Jacksonville, about 90 cents a pound, and, he said, you're going to have to do some more.
Well,
some more grass.
I was over there. I went over there to see Maxie. Let me see. That's since I saw you. And we went to the other place, the back place
mm-hmm.
over there, where his sisters live. And he had been experimenting with some of that poison, or 2,4-D, and he had been using a little 4-gallon spray.
Right, like I have. I got one now on top of my
And doing it himself. And he made it so strong, it burnt the
grass.
Everything.
Yeah.
Just burnt the whole thing up. And furthermore, it went so slow. Well, I got to looking around. I didn't realize. And them little ones coming up, you see?
Yeah.
You got the big ones that's been there a year or two. And then here, just
uh-huh.
Just as much as far as you can see, them
yeah.
little ones coming up. Well, next year, they'll be big.
Yeah.
Well, I got to thinking about it. I've got this spray I use for hyacinths and
mm-hmm.
the coffee weed. That early coffee weed won't do the round leaf.
Yeah, the air-cooled motor keeps agitating the pressure on it.
I just got a one-on power take on.
You have?
No
just...
motor. Yeah, very simple. And I got a drum of water, and I just put one cup of 2,4-D
mm-hmm.
to a whole drum of water. Well, Maxie was getting some hyacinths out there in a little pond here. It's a little pond not much bigger than this kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And told him to put about 3 pints to the drum. That's way too much.
Yeah.
And he just put the whole gallon.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's, you see, that's what that does.
Well, he killed, with any fish in it, he killed the fish in the whole world.
Yes, wouldn't be anything left in there with that.
I mean,
well, I thought, well, now I've had a little experience with this. I'll go home and try it. See, I've never sprayed the dog fennel. I've never been bothered with it that much. They're just now coming, accumulating on me. So that afternoon, I just put out a drum just to try it, and just a regular proportion, just a cup full of a drum. And I went out there after a while. It don't take long, they nod. And I went back next morning, they're still nodding, but not enough. I could help looking at them that they'd come back out.
Mm-hmm.
This stem had too much vigor. So I went over them the second day. And I doubled it, and I put 2 of them, and that knocked them winding.
And didn't hurt your grass either?
No. Oh, every now and then it burned a little bit if you put too much, too much water. So I told Maxie what had happened, and he came over here and looked around. And the first thing he said before he even went out there, Evan, he said, that spray won't work on my tractor. And when I went out there, it was just a perfect case. He's, and when he said in here, he talked to Pete Smith, and he'd do it for $3 an acre.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I told him, I just saw it away, you know, with that little old spray.
That's right.
You can just sit up there and...
And go ahead and go around like Ayer, you know, sold his... Clover, or what, go around on it. He had done it for little or nothing, I reckon. I didn't ask him, but I imagine he'd done it, you know, normal fee.
Yeah.
And you saw the rye grass in his grass over there, didn't you? It looked all right, didn't it?
Yeah.
He had it pretty uniform and made a pretty good grazing crop. After he put the fertilizer, Ayer said the stuff come up there knee high.
Yeah.
Said he had more than a cow could eat.
Well, I couldn't do it because I had the tractor broke down. I was working on it. The little tractor, I couldn't, you know, just demonstrate it, but it's all rigged up there, see, it's that simple. I just put it.
But it would work on his tractor, it worked just like Cody, got a power takeoff.
Why, of course.
Yeah.
And I'd let him have he could have that, or he can buy one.
Yeah.
But cheaper than he can hire another.
Oh, yeah.
Who is Pete Smith?
He's a Cameo chemical man.
Yeah.
He puts out the liquid fertilizer on the grass, you know, on the hay grass after you mow it. I used to put a 310 on it first, and when you mow it, you know, one time, and you come back and give it about 60 to 70 pounds of that hydromonia, you see.
Yeah.
And you
get
another cut.
Well, it didn't look like he paid any attention to all what I said. And it was all so simple.
Yeah.
And I couldn't quite.
Well, he's old. He don't want to mess with none of the equipment. Like Ayers told him he could use the same rig, you know, and use his battery. In other words, it's a battery thing, you know, that whirl at.
Yeah.
It's hold about a bushel, I reckon, in other words. Jippy got one that holds a whole 100 pounds, you know, of a hay or grass or anything you want to put in it.
Yeah.
And but it's a little bigger outfit, in other words, and you got a little bigger motor and it got you use it on 6 or 12 volt either one.
Yeah.
In fact, he's used it on a 12 volt battery, but it's got a little switch there, like a battery charger. You flip it over there if you're 12 volt, flip it on this side if it's 6.
Yeah.
And it's simple. And you can take that thing, and I used JP tractor, and I sold his for his, and he told me to use a tractor, in other words. And I told him, well, I didn't have any diesel, I had tractor fuel. And he said, well, you can just go and get you a couple of cans, you know, instead of tractor fuel, just go and get you a couple of cans of diesel, and I'd have sold yours. I was going to sell, well, let's see, I sold 5, 10, about 15 acres. And it don't take long to go over it, in other words. They went on and sold Max's, and could have sold it in one day, in other words, but I think they had to go and get some more seed the next morning. They went back the next morning. Well, he come through the graded road there, and it wasn't too much wear and tear on his tire, you know, about two miles, I'd say, through that graded road there where he lived. And he went back the next day.
You know, that that's just going to revolutionize us.
It's other kind of stuff.
You
save that cutting
with
them, in other words.
You don't need to put in it.
But you're going back to that point, in other words. I don't know how it ever done. Now, he had one little ridge that was a spray rig for eggplants and squash and things when they're in farming big. The Richardson brothers, you know them, I know.
Yeah.
And one they call Pokey. Well, his real name Walter, but Pokey is what we all would call him. And he's was the instigator of that thing, and he used that same two-wheel buggy, in other words, like Pete Smith, you know, got those spray nozzles out, you know, take so many rolls. But he put another one in between them, in other words, where it would carry a spray, you know, like that. And it'd be solid, and it'd carry, you know, 10 or 12 feet. And you could go in a pretty good speed. It was attractive. The pasture wasn't too rough where it adjusted, you know, on that thing that he had. And he poured all, where that bottom of here, I get tangled around, where Richardson bottom, it comes up to Evanston Road. It's on the, going back this way toward McIntosh, hitting on the left.
Yeah.
And that's where that dog found really something else.
Yeah.
And it looks like he just about got him conquered. Have you noticed that and seen about the dog found in
no,
that damp land?
No, I haven't.
And it, the clover was out of this world in that.
Oh,
too.
Yes. Well, what happened to the clover?
But the weather condition, I think.
That's
what Albert Zetra said happened here.
Yeah, man, this year.
That's what happened to mine, too. Albert didn't have any. He used to have it. Ada said he got some underneath the pine trees and the damp land.
Yeah.
You know, well, he got a little bit. Well, the land, you know, dried out, so it just, you know, killed it out. And, well, it just about so dried until the grass about to die, I tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But Walter, in other words, he had them dog family, and it looked like they sold. But he must, you know, that same thing that you're talking about, until the hind Pete Smith, he went to university and got a farm, in other words, and it wasn't too expensive to mix it, and the thing hold 500 gallons, I believe, that tank did, you know, he sprayed his eggplant, tomatoes, and squash with. And he used it, I don't know, it must be, I'd say 50 acres or more in that bottom, he called it, didn't it?
Yeah.
Looked like a pretty good sized little piece.
Yeah.
But that was two or three years ago. When I noticed after that why he looked like he conquered them, but some of them things were taller than the ceiling.
Oh, they do go, don't they?
And that bottom land, he got that, what it is.
Oh, that's heavy land out there.
It'll go, like mine over there, they're going to go.
Yeah.
And there's one place that where we used to plant that iceberg in this Boston lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the brother said, it's coming now. In other words, he said, it's going to choke out the grass, so you're going to have to need to mow that or get in there and tear it up with a harrow or something up. And redo it and maybe sow some more grass and also put some more this high pine clover in it if you're going to have some grass for the cows to eat. But you take, even now, in other words, the rain that we've had, but not too much. I'm swapping them back place to place.
Yeah.
And Ayer said he doesn't have any grass yet to mount anything.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't fertilized them. Pangola, it's been, too dry to fertilize it, but I'm planning on getting boys to eat and flow, and rather than getting one of these spreader things, half of them now, they don't do it right. Now, I'm going to put it out with easy flow. If not, but I got about 10 acres put out, in other words, at home place, and about 10, there's about 10 or the other place, I guess, over there, where I got the heifers with a few old cows. Well,
where do you buy your fertilizer?
I bought it from Semolo 1 year, but I think I'm going to get the Gold Kiss.
When I see Semino, we'll bring it right out there and put it on your pickup.
Yeah, they put it on the truck like
this. You
don't
even have to go get it.
But it was $7 a ton more than what I can buy it. Same analysis, and I buy it from CPA, and I'm hauling for $7 a ton from the game. Haul a ton at a time.
Yeah.
Be up there anyhow, you know, on a Saturday or something. Just bring it on out there and put it in the easy flow and go ahead and use a ton. If I need another ton, we'll go back and get another ton for $7. It's a total area.
I wouldn't do it for $7.
But Ayer said, well, he didn't have no pickup, in other words. And he said, well, come there and put it in that old big truck. And he pulled up that old wide to ease the flow of his.
Yeah.
It's, you got to have a 14-foot gate to get it through. And I borrowed Watcher.
Yeah.
His will go through a 12-foot gate, you know what I mean? Maybe a 10.
Yeah. Can you get them through? Can you angle them through?
That old wide one?
Uh-huh.
No.
There's just no way of getting
through. There's
just
no way to do that big one to save your life. The way
well, now you can get your balers through.
Yeah, but it's a little different. It'll cut, you know, but that other thing, now you can't get it through. I done tried that thing a lot of times.
Is that right?
Only way you can do it when it's empty. I've seen him do
it.
Take it loose.
Yeah.
Empty and take it loose. Oh, then you work around that with it. Now take it loose off your drawbar. But you mess around your tractor. It's like messing with a four-wheel wagon trying to back it. You tried to back them, haven't you?
Yeah.
I think it go every way the right way. But a two-wheel wagon, you can handle it pretty well, in other words. But them four-wheel, the corn wagon, it's a problem. I'm telling you.
Let me see.
Say, I'm Carlo Cookie. See, Cook is home. If he's home, I don't know where he lives, but I reckon that he could run over there with him and show me where he lived if he couldn't come over here, in other words, for a few minutes. I don't know where he lived, how to get to the place. It's not too far where he lives, is it?
It's a good distance.
It is?
But 5 or 6 miles?
Well, he might maybe talk to me. He might just talk to him on the phone.
Well, what he was going to do, and he was going to try to get over that night, was come over there and bring a battery and something and
see if the motor froze up.
Try to crank it up.
Yeah.
And, of course, he'd want to be there when you were there.
Well, if he, what's he doing now? He working on a regular job?
This one more, he working up there until he rest.
Well, when he go to work,
Yes, he didn't work today. This memorial.
That's right. Yeah.
He went to the livestock market this afternoon.
But were they open? Livestock market open today?
As far as I know, they never closed except on Christmas or something.
Well, I think not. But red. It was red on the calendar, in other words. Well, if he gets off about 4 o'clock, why let him come by the house tomorrow afternoon?
Well, I'll let you. I mean, you talk if I can catch you, because he was over here the whole night.
But my brother be home. Early tomorrow evening. I don't know what time he gets off.
591-1512. He'll probably be around over here. You just tell him where I call, and that that Everett Smith was over here, and that's probably where he's gone.
If I don't see him, tell him to come and be at my house tomorrow. He can come tomorrow evening at 5 or 6 o'clock. If I don't see him tonight.
Yeah. Everett said that he would be over at his house tomorrow night. You tell him. All right. Mm-hmm. He was there and left. And I bet he went over to your place. That's where he went. If he hadn't heard, if he...
I haven't, the light is something wrong with a three-way switch. Now, I did have, a packing squash underneath there. The three-way switch is off, and that big floodlight, and I got the Camp Blandon, it's 250-watt.
Yeah.
It's, showing like enough light where you see what you're doing, unless you got a good flashlight.
Well, he wouldn't do anything unless you were there.
No, I don't imagine, but...
Well, he'd be better during daytime, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
But he gets off at 4:30.
Well, I say if he'd come tomorrow evening, though, and I'll be home tomorrow afternoon. Brother will be there before I will. In other words, if he gets off at 4:30, I'll be home, by 5.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't see him.
But
the only way I'd get him, I could call him Did you leave word?
Yeah, yeah, left word. And I would have told him, and I would have, if he didn't come back by him, like she said, he might have went on out to the house, see if I'd home to talk to him.
Yeah.
But it's sad, put water in, and I guess oil ought to be changed, in other words, in the thing, of course.
Yeah. He just wanted to crank
might
it.
Might want to see if the motor folds up, that's right, with a battery, and I would see if it's, you know, the motor fold. If it is, well, you'll have to, you know, take the pan and the head off, you know, and unfreeze the motor. It's been setting up some, that's what the junk men, you know, always tell you, you know, wasn't that the only thing they know at $100.
Oh, that's right. That's
you know
right.
What I mean?
That's right.
Setting up, you know, a long while, and you don't go out there with a battery. They've been using it here. It's got it on that old M. I saw it this afternoon, in other words, and he told me to come by the house, in other words, and I went by the house, and I saw him now this morning. I met him at the job. We go to work at 9 o'clock, you see, and then with he and Willie riding together, well, then we knock off at 3. Now, this afternoon, we could have worked a little more, but we had a little work to clean up, you know, down one corner, and he's got to see the man about where he's going to put the fence, you know, in 4 feet of line or what.
Oh, y'all started on that again?
Yeah, we on the highway there now, and a colored man, he got his fence right on the line. Now, and then he got the road, you know, on this man's property. And he said, I wouldn't mind dropping back 10 feet, you know, and I'd leave, you know, part of the road, but it's washed up there. And he said the best thing for him to do is to move his fence back, in other words, 8 or 10 feet, and I'll drop mine back, you know, that much, and give him a right of way up to his house. See, he got a concrete block house up there. Colored man, he got watermelon, and pretty fair darky, but the man, you know, pretty reasonable. He's not gonna be no pig or nothing, like I was that girl over yonder. If I was mine too, I'd take in a whale and a pecan tree, in other words, over there. But I wouldn't, not that kind of a fella.
How's that?
Is to take in a whale and a pecan tree and put the fence, you know, right next to the front porch. For the line, you know, my line, you know, takes it in. The road and all. You know, past Max's there. That's my property over there.
Oh.
And, in other words, but I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't think about it, in other words. Now, she's married again, you know, married that Chambers boy, Orange Lake. Jimmy Chambers used to be a fish guide.
Oh.
I went to school with him. And she married him, and now and then they want to buy the piece of property, 11 acres, and it's only 10 in the field, because the road there and her, you know, the road is on my property, and it comes in front of her house. But the county wouldn't let me fence up the road. They tried that, you know, and had a lawsuit and made the man move the fence back over here at Gladney Girls. At Ed Reed, the colored man, you know, he put the road, the fence right down the middle of the road. And Billy Richardson and I was glad that I wouldn't went to court with it and made him put the fence back.
How about that?
That's true. But I don't believe in that kind of business myself. I don't care that much about land.
I imagine he came by here. We weren't here. Because thinking that you might drop over here. And then he went on over to your place. Because the girl said that he came home and then left. Came up. She thought it was over here. Well, anyway, that's.
But my brother-in-law, if you seen him, in other words, he could have told him I'd be coming over here, because I told him, you know, I couldn't turn around too good here.
Yeah.
Unless it went around your barn, you know,
yeah.
Or like that. And I said, well, I'll just drive your car.
Channel 2 right. Channel 2 over. And the continuation of the first half of the visit with Everett is Monday night after supper, the 31st of May, 1971. Channel 2 over on the cookie reel. And the end, or is this the first half? This first half of the visit with Everett this Monday night after supper, well after supper, the 31st of May, 1971, this is on the cookie reel, channel 2 over, the end of this reel, first half of the visit with Everett, this Monday after supper, the 31st of May, 1971.